Previously, we spoke about the Beinoni, and we will continue to speak about the Beinoni because this is the book called Sefer Shel Beinonim, the book that the Alter Rebbe wrote to explain to every Jew how he or she can become a Beinoni. And we define a Beinoni as a person who is does not do a single sin, a person who does not do a single sin, not in thought or in speech, and for sure not in action. We also define the Beinoni as a person who is so connected to Hashem that it is possible for them during moments of great attachment to Hashem. The Alter Rebbe calls this moments of davening, moments of great excitement and spiritual pursuits, that the person should not even have a Yetzirah that's giving them temptation, and the Yetzirah should be totally sleeping. And we define that the Beinoni is struggling with, therefore, in moments when you don't have that feeling, is the initial rush, the initial temptation that pops, the thought that pops up in your head, or the little thought that's nagging at you, I want to do this, or I feel bad about that, which, you know, so on. Maybe it's a little jealousy, a little anger, a little temptation of some sort. And the Beinoni is so much in control of their personal space that they are able to immediately push away. The Rebbe uses the term push away with both hands, this thought from their mind. They don't dwell on the thought, and they for sure don't say anything that's wrong, like Lashon Hara or lies or whatever it is. And they also for sure don't do anything. And the Rebbe described they don't even do anything like wasting time from Torah study. So they're really, really on a very, very high level. And the last chapter, we spoke about the difference between a Beinoni who is struggling and a Beinoni who is not struggling. And we explained that there are some people that have, by virtue of their nature, just the way they're born, they're less heated personalities and less heated natures. They don't have such temptation from different things. They don't care about material things. They don't care about things ordinary people would be like running after and getting all excited about. So those, or they're simply so used to doing what they're doing. The Alter Rebbe called it learning 100 times, which it used to be the style in the times of the Gemara to learn things 100 times. They're so used to doing that, that even though it's 100 times, which is really amazing, but because they're so used to doing that, this has become second nature for them. This is in no means something to sneeze at. This is just an amazing, amazing thing. But the Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us in this chapter, coming chapters, that there in fact is an advantage in the struggle. There is in fact an advantage in having to push back against Yetzirah. And in fact, that will also explain to us why would Hashem, to begin with, make people that all their lives they will be faced with struggle and they will not be able to reach a plateau, to reach a level where there's no longer struggle. Why does Hashem want struggle? Why does Hashem like struggle? And for that, we're going to have to introduce a few new concepts, which we will introduce as we get up to that. So this then is the important principle regarding the divine service of the Beinoni, the Alter Rebbe says. The main thing that the Beinoni has to do is to govern and rule the nature that is in the left part of the heart. We previously explained that the heart has two parts. The way I've been explained it is that the heart has two parts, and the heart has the part where the blood is oxygenated, the part where the heart has the part where the blood is no longer oxygenated, and where it pumps out and it comes back in. And the right side and the left side of the heart, the Alter Rebbe had explained to us, quoting from the Zohar and quoting from the Kabbalists, the Alter Rebbe had explained to us serve different purposes. The right side of the heart is the emotions that are ruled and governed by the Nefesh Elokis, by the godly soul. And that means that they're excited to do spiritual things. They're excited to do mitzvahs. So it's excitement, it's emotion, but it's emotional excitement about holiness, about doing mitzvahs, about studying Torah, about davening, about doing a favor for a Jew, and so on. The left side of the heart is also excitement, but it's excitement about doing things that are more self-serving. It doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing, but once something is self-serving, once something is serving to make me happy for the moment, it means I'm not thinking about my purpose, about my creator, about the bigger picture. It means I'm not thinking about holiness and spirituality, because as we've defined a number of times, the difference between holiness and the opposite, which we call evil, ra, is that holiness means sticking to Hashem and having the Hashem's will, Hashem's desire, Hashem's mission, our spiritual side, connection to our spirit, our life force. That is what we are all about. Anytime a person is pulling away from that and carving out some space for themselves, quote unquote, that's called the opposite of holiness. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says the essential thing is to govern and rule the nature that is in the left part of the heart. This means that by nature, a person is born with selfishness. This does not mean that you're, again, you're an axe murderer. This just means you're self-centered. By nature, a person is born thinking about and caring about and striving for themselves. And that is the nature, that is the task at hand, that's the job. The Beit Ani's job is to take that selfish feeling, that self-centered feeling, which again is not evil, not bad necessarily, but it is bad because, I mean, necessarily it's not bad in the sense that people would call it bad, but it is bad in the sense that the Hashem is being pushed out of the picture. And of course, that's very bad. So, and how do you do it? How do you submerge and get rid of that selfish feeling? I say submerge because the Alter Rebbe himself is using terminology here that you're not going to completely change it. You're going to be governing and ruling. Governing and ruling means that the nature is still going to be there. You're not going to convert that nature. You're still going to have a selfish side to yourself, but that selfish side is not going to be dictating how you're going to be acting, how you're going to be thinking, and even how you're going to be feeling. Instead, the person, by virtue of working on themselves again and again and again, will have submerged that part of themselves into, and that will be covered over and run by the spiritual side of themselves. And the Alter Rebbe says, what is that spiritual side? The spiritual side is the divine light that illuminates the divine soul abiding in the brain to rule the desires of the heart. In other words, the way that the Beit Ani will cover up and will have the selfish side of themselves no longer running their body, no longer running themselves, no longer dictating how they're going to be acting, is by using your brain to meditate, to think about your purpose, about Hashem, to study Torah, to study Chassidus, to use the brain, the thought processes that a person will proactively think, meditate and think about why I'm here and what's the real purpose. And once you do that, Alter Rebbe previously guaranteed us that the natural love that every Jew has in their heart by virtue of the fact that we are simply Jews, we are children of our grandparents, great-grandparents, up till Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and we have this natural love in our heart. So this will rule the desires of the heart, and the right side of the heart then will rule over the left side of the heart. This mastery of one's nature and desires is achieved when he meditates in his mind on the greatness of the blessed infinite God, so as to create through his understanding a spirit of knowledge and fear of God in his mind. Once a person has this knowledge, the knowledge that a person has in their mind will cause that they will turn away from the evil which the Torah condemns. Anything that the Torah says you shouldn't do, they're going to say, absolutely, I don't want to do it. Even if it's something which is a minor, it appears to be, and that's the important word, it appears to be a minor prohibition that the sages, that the Chachamim, that our sages have proscripted, that they have forbidden. It doesn't matter, because the bottom line is, as soon as you do something that is, again, selfish, self-centered, turning away from your mission, whether the thing you're doing is minor or major, doesn't matter, you're facing the wrong direction. So this Beit Ani, once the Beit Ani understands that their purpose in life is to be facing the right direction, to be connected to Hashem, then even the smallest thing even a thing that appears to be very, very minor, is for them, for this Beinoni, is going to be just as important, just as major as something that other people think is major. It doesn't make a difference. Once your attitude is adjusted, once your mindset is adjusted, then you're okay. Then you're facing the right direction. And the Alter Rebbe says that contemplating on Hashem's greatness brings a love for Hashem, which will reveal itself in the right part of the heart, which, as we said before, is the seat of the godly soul's emotional faculties. This is the place that the right side of the heart will rule the left side of the heart. And you will have a longing, you will have a desire to stick to Hashem, to cleave to Hashem, to fulfill the precepts of the Torah, to study Torah. This is the concept of love for Hashem that Hashem, that Alter Rebbe previously spoke about and we're going to speak about again and again. Alter Rebbe says, you cannot fulfill the mitzvahs properly without emotion. Just by going through the motions, it doesn't mean you're connected to Hashem. Being really connected in a relationship, especially a relationship with Hashem, means that you are emotionally there also. If you're just mechanically doing something, then you are you're not really there. You have to also be emotionally in the action, and so on. Now, what I was going to say, that furthermore, you must know an additional important principle in the Beinoni service of Hashem. Let's assume that a person is thinking and meditating and is studying Torah and is studying Chassidus and all, but they're incapable of producing a revealed love of Hashem in their heart. That means that you take a look at the mitzvah you're about to do. You take a look at the other material thing that you'd like to do. And you say, you know what, I'm much more excited about this material thing, whatever it is, eating this food or doing this action, than I'm excited about going to daven now or about doing this mitzvah or about helping this person or about, I'm just not. So you're trying to work yourself up into a point of excitement. You're meditating on how it's amazing if I do this mitzvah, I'm connected. And then you say, but you know what, I really do want to do that. So what does that mean? If you're honest with yourself, it means that you have not succeeded in producing a revealed love of Hashem in your heart to make it burn with fiery flames, Alter Rebbe says, with a desire and a longing and a passion to cleave to Hashem. Instead, you desire and long to cleave to the ice cream cone, to cleave to the piece of cake, to the piece of food, whatever it is. And I don't want to go daven now, and I want to go sit and eat. Now I have this meal in front of me, or now I have this, whatever this thing I'm going to be doing. So have you succeeded? You've studied the Maamar of Chassidus, you've studied and so on, and you're still stuck in the same rut. You're still stuck in the same rut as before. So the person says, what's going to be? So the Alter Rebbe says that, first of all, it might be that the inability is not because you're not reading and studying correctly. It's because you're just weighed down with a lot of concrete. In other words, why can't you fly in the sky? You can't fly in the sky because you're wearing cement shoes. What's a cement shoe? What's happening here is, Alter Rebbe says, it might be that the person's nefesh, his intellectual capacities, which come from his neshama and the levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama, it might be that they come, that they're covered up. It might be that they are not revealed. It might be that Hashem has not given this individual the ability to really feel that. And that's it's unfortunate. And there's a reason for that too. And there's a certain advantage even in working then much harder. But like, you know, we say nebuch on the person or nebuch on ourselves if we're feeling that. So we say that it's like a person who's born and you're not born with all the mental faculties that somebody else has. You're not born as smart as someone else. So you have to work harder. Why do you have to work harder? Because that's the way it is. That's, you know, some people have a greater IQ. Some people are on the spectrum or whatever it is. So this is also in the spiritual side. Now, the spiritual side, Hashem gives us neshamas that have certain capacities. And Hashem gives us sometimes neshamas that they have the capacity, but they're not, they're covered up. They're covered up. It still means we have to work harder. So it might be that that's the reason. But at the end of the day, whatever the reason is, it's simply not enough to lift you up into the sky, to lift you out of the material rut, out of this materialistic rut. This means that the heart will comprehend with the spirit of wisdom understanding in the brain. And instead of being excited with love of Hashem, the heart experiences an understanding of the greatness of the blessed infinite God before whom else is not. And therefore, it is fitting and due that the soul of every living creature should want to be completely wrapped up with Hashem, should want to completely be subsumed, completely be connected. And subsumed, meaning you don't have an individual nature anymore. You want to be so one with Hashem that you want to be no longer your individual self. You want to be totally wrapped up in the origin, in the source, in the spirituality. And also his own nefesh and his own ruach is going to be pining and desiring with a deep will and a deep want to go out of their shell. What's the shell? The shell is the body. The neshama right now is in a body, and the body is giving us all of these physical urges, all of these physical problems. We need to eat, we need to sleep. It's not bad things necessarily, but they are stopping us from feeling spirituality just because we're physical. So that the way it should be is that by virtue of the fact that you are able, that you're studying, by virtue of the fact that you're meditating, and you're reading and you're learning about spiritual levels and about Hashem's greatness, it should be that you should want to climb out of your body, that your neshama should want to leave the body, and you should view your body as a bunch of useless junk, a bunch of cement, a bunch of concrete that just keeping you down from flying in the sky, from being in the spiritual levels and experiencing the full measure of spiritual energy that your neshama is capable of feeling and producing. And in fact, you don't even want to be a separate neshama. In fact, you want to be totally connected with Hashem. And you should feel that you are living against your will. Al Rebbe says, as if you are a living widow. Living widow, that means you're bound to, this is a person, a woman, who doesn't know whether or not their husband actually died. So your husband went away on a trip. Your husband went away in the olden times. It was much more common, obviously, than today. We don't have any news. We don't know. Is the man alive or dead? So you're tied to this guy who you don't know if he's alive or dead. On the other hand, you don't have the guy. On the other hand, you don't have the husband. You can't remarry because the husband might still be alive. In that case, you're a married woman. So this is a terrible situation to be in, obviously. So this is how a person should view themselves. The person should view themselves that against their will, they are bound to their body. Hashem wants me to be alive, but my body is not the real me. Where do I want to be? I want to be in the spiritual world. So against my will, I am bound, a person should feel after meditation, to living in this material world, but I cannot be where I really want to be. I cannot have the relationship I really want to have with Hashem, which is purely spiritual, purely selfless, and in fact, Alter Rebbe said, even where we don't even exist. In their present state, their thought cannot grasp Hashem at all. Unless you're in the middle of studying Torah. By studying Torah, then you can, at the moment you're studying Torah, you can grasp Hashem's will, because Hashem put his will, Hashem put what he wants into Torah. So if you're going to read the Torah, you're going to read how the Torah explains the mitzvahs, then you're going to understand what Hashem wants, because Hashem put his desires for what the world should be like. Is God, Hashem's idea of the perfect world, Hashem's idea of the perfect relationship is in Torah. What does that mean? It means that when you study Torah, you understand, so to speak, how Hashem's mind works. And the Alter Rebbe explains to us that that is the closest that two people can come in a relationship when you're on not just a physical embrace, but you're actually on an intellectual level where you're just reading each other's minds, you're understanding each other intellectually, then that is, of course, the closest. So when a person studies Torah, yes, through Torah, you can approach this level that the neshama wants to approach just because the neshama feels the greatness of Hashem. If you want to satiate that desire, if you want to satisfy that need and that deep-seated longing, Dr. Rebbe says, the chasheka b'chafetz, a deep-seated longing, then study Torah. Study Torah, meditate on the Torah, and you will be able to feel a closeness on that level. That I've explained previously, that if a person is hugging the king, doesn't matter if the king is wearing one piece of clothing or 10 pieces of clothing. At the end of the day, you're hugging the king. So similarly, even though the Torah talks about materialistic things, the Torah, again, so you think, yes, it's true, I'm studying Torah, but I'm studying Torah about the physical world. Because what does the Torah teach us? Torah teaches how to do mitzvahs in the physical world. So again, I'm stuck behind the eight ball here. I'm stuck with this material piece of concrete that's weighing me down. Dr. Eber says, no, don't think that way. Because at the end of the day, if you're studying Torah directly, just straight spirituality, or you're studying Torah about the material aspects that Torah says what to do with the material world, at the end of the day, you're discussing and you're meditating on what Hashem wants. So this is called hugging the king through multiple garments. Hugging the king through multiple garments is you're hugging the king. Now, we do understand, of course, that studying Chassidus and studying Kabbalah is a more direct way of approaching spirituality. And of course, that's why it's so exciting to study Chassidus and Kabbalah. However, having said that, Hashem wants us to study about how to do the mitzvahs in the physical world. If you just study Chassidus and Kabbalah and you don't know how to live your life according to the Shulchan Aruch, then you can't be a chassid. You cannot be a person who is following the Torah. So you must have both. And there is no downside, God forbid, in studying the Torah when it talks about material things, because in that case, you're considered to be hugging the king.